Well, that is really cool to see and to hear about our kids. And I wanted to spend just a couple of minutes with what time we've got left and talk a little bit about the topic that they had, which is the Word. Because that's really what our youth leaders are working for and what they experience at Student Life Camp. And there is something, it's just like coming into this room. You know, there is something about when you get the body of Christ together. And, you know, we're teaching the same type of things upstairs, the youth leaders and Jonathan, every week. And so it's not like they're going and they're getting some new revelation or some new piece of knowledge they didn't have where everything falls together. But there's something about when you have, what, they have 1,000 kids or so? You got 1,000 kids who come together and everything stops except focusing on Christ and making Christ the center of what you're doing for 4 or 5 days. And there's an impact to that. It's just like when we come in here and we decide for an hour a week, we're going to stop everything and we're going to focus on God. We're going to listen to Him. We're going to sing praises to Him. We're going to make Him as our group the focus of what we're doing. And it creates an atmosphere where God can speak. And some of you are like me. You have a hard time singing and worshiping by yourself. Some of you, how many of you would agree with me that really, this is the best time you get to worship every week because you don't do it too good alone in your car. There's some people that they sing and they just can worship all the time, and there's some of us that we need the help of those who are more talented to be able to do that the same way. But all of that comes out of a relationship with God. Not with His truth, but with God. And so Jonathan had this one. We talked about it. He was going to have this one up at the end. I forgot. But that was kind of the theme of what he talked to the kids about and what Logan heard and what he decided. If he wants the answers to his questions about God and the reality of God answered, he's going to have to read God's Word. He's going to have to hear from God because it's a personal relationship that comes through that. And that's why the Bible claims to be a different book than any other book. It says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Now, a lot of people are the same way that the Pharisees were back when they questioned Jesus. And He said, look, you are mistaken because you don't understand the Scriptures or the power of God. You're looking for salvation in those words, but guess what those words point to? They point to Me. And we don't read the Bible so that we understand what God wants us to do. And if we do that, we're in a good relationship with Him. It's not about the things that we do or that we don't do. It's not about bringing ourselves into conformity with the law. That's how all the other books and all the other religions are. They're a book of principles, a book of truths, a book of do's and don'ts. And you conform yourself to those, and you think, okay, now I'm in a good relationship with God because I'm doing what He says. But that's not a relationship. It's not a relationship to obey what somebody said from afar but never know them. Those words are there to point you to God, and God creates through His Word. That's the mysterious thing about it. There is a God who is alive, that is right here filling this room. He is filling our hearts. Some of us are in touch and we sense His presence. We know that He is here with us. We experience Him in our daily lives. Some of us feel like that's vague and we can't seem to touch it. And a lot of times when things go bad in life, what we do is work harder at obeying those rules. And Jesus says, look, you don't even understand why the Scriptures were written. They're not written so you can understand the rules. They're not written so that you can understand what I want you to do and you do it. They're written so that I can come alive in those words to you. So that you can see the power of Me creating in you what I created you to be. God spoke and the worlds came into being. The Bible tells us that we are born again by the incorruptible Word implanted in our hearts. It's God's word that comes alive. All of us knew God loves us before we gave our hearts to Christ. All of us knew that Christ died for us. I mean, we grew up in America. We all knew that. Why all of a sudden were our hearts pricked and we had it, you know, beating out of our chest and we felt like, this is my moment. I have to respond to God. I've got to go. I've got to give myself to Him right now. What's the difference between that and all the other times we heard it? That's what Jesus is talking about the word is for. It's not so we understand the principles. It's so that we can know the Father. So that we can know Jesus Christ. This, John 17:3 says, is eternal life. That we know Him. That is what it's about. And the Word of God is alive and it is powerful. And when we read the Word of God, it's not just a history lesson. It's not a lesson of the things God wants us to think. It's an opportunity for Him to come alive to us because we are listening to His words. And when that starts to happen to us, we start to have a relationship with God, which is the goal of why the word was given to us. I have a friend that I was meeting with, you know, I've met with him for years, and just last week we were meeting. Well, actually, I take it back, it was this week. And we were talking about these things, and a couple weeks ago, he had had an experience, and we had talked about a certain verse that says that God tempts no man. But each man is led astray by his own what? His own desires. That's what sin is. Sin is when our own desires lead us away, and instead of us stopping and saying, God, what are you doing here? What do you want for my life? What do you want me to do? Let me walk with you because I don't see everything that's going to happen. And I know I'm tempted because I feel like I want this right now. I want to do this right now, but let me just stop and check and see, is this what you want me to do? Is this in line with how you want me to act? Is this in line with the values that you've given me? Let me hear from you before I just act. We have our own desires, and this one was really, really plain. He had been asking God for some help in a job change because he had a difficult work situation. And God had moved him into a place that he had a new job, which had some better benefits and better employers that treated him better. But how many of you know God never brings us into that place where we have everything we want? I mean, when I read in the Bible, none of the Bible characters got moved to a place where everything was taken care of, they had no problems, all their struggles were over, it was just paradise from there on out. There's always the good with the bad because we grow going through the tough times, right? So there were some things about this job that were not perfect. And his attitude was one that had been growing in him more and more, that he was going to serve God and do what God wanted to do. Well, somebody in the business noticed that. And they looked at the way he was working, and they looked at his attitude, and they said, you know what? You can do better than this job. I know of a place that you can go apply, and you can make more money here. And, you know, have better hours than what you're doing. Well, immediately, what does our human nature say? Oh, yeah, I want that. I want that right here. Let me go jump and do that. Instead, he immediately stopped and thought, okay, now hold on. This is tempting, but before I make this decision, I need to stop and make sure this is what God wants me to do. You don't ask that question if you don't have a relationship with God. You just look and lean on your own understanding of what you perceive to be what is best for you at the moment, and you make a decision. That's how people live. It's not how you walk with God, but that's how people live. They listen to the facts, they evaluate the facts, they look at it from all perspectives, they decide what's the best move for them to make, and they make the move. Instead of stopping and saying, what's the big picture of your plan? And realizing you brought me to this place. Did you bring me to this place because you want to move me someplace else? Do you want me to hang in here? And in his heart, he just felt like God wanted him to stay. He didn't read that in the Bible, it says, hey, you need to stay at this job, don't take the other. How many of you know that's not written in the Bible? But the Bible is alive. It was written 2,000 years ago. And over 2,000 years from the time that was written, he can read a verse that tells him that you are tempted when you are led by your own desires. And God speaks to him and says, that's your desire. Your desire is for a couple more dollars an hour. Your desire is for a little bit better adjustment on the hours of work. But for you, that's a temptation to get out of the will that I've provided for you. It's a temptation for you to move yourself out from under the place I put you, where I have plans for you. That's a whole different thing than reading the Bible to understand what happened to Joseph or what happened to Daniel, or to be able to answer the Bible questions about what's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. It's not why we read the Bible. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separated people from God was torn in two from the top to the bottom to open up access between us and who? God. And the Bible describes being lost as being dead to God. In other words, we can't sense him. We can't hear him. When we have something that comes into our lives and we have to make a decision, we don't know what his will is. We can't hear his voice guiding and leading us. We're really not in contact with him leading us. And that really happens through his word. His word is alive. He creates a new heart in us with his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by reading. We read the word of God, but if that word doesn't become alive and have power in our lives to capture our hearts and to lead us, to make God real to us and to open up our eyes to who he is and what his purpose for our lives are, if that word doesn't become alive, if it's just black and white type print, we're just like those Pharisees who don't understand that those words are written to point us to Christ so that he can come alive to us and the power of his word can be true. Our faith is based on the promises of God. We have to know what those promises are. And so really, you cannot have and develop in a relationship with God without his word being a part of it. Just like we develop our relationships with everyone. This is what Jesus was saying when he said, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. That's a really interesting verse, isn't it? We quote it a lot. Some versions say, disclose myself to them. But what he does is he pulls back the veil. When we say this, I know that you love me. I want to know and understand that love. I want to know and understand you. I am listening and I'm reading. What are you telling me? What do these words mean to me? I will follow you wherever you lead. If any man lacks wisdom, what does the Bible say God will do? He will give it to him liberally. And he won't rebuke him, he won't upbraid him, he won't chastise him for not knowing what he should have known. But if our hearts are there and we say, we want to follow you, I want to hear you, I want to know what you're telling me, make your word come alive to me, come alive to me, show me where you want me to go, I will follow you. God promises he will come alive. And he will reveal himself to you. And as you follow him, he will intervene because he cares about every detail of your life. But when we don't know the word, when we don't read the word, when we are not searching for God in the word, when we're not searching for Christ to reveal his love to us through his word, when we treat it like a law book, principles to live a better life, rather than an open conversation to allow our hearts to know the God that created the universe, That's a spiritual thing that cannot be discerned by the human mind or through understanding. When we obey him, then we are saying, I love you. I love you enough that I'm going to do what you say no matter what it costs me. When we do that, God says, hey, I love you too. And he gives himself to us. He reveals himself to us. And that's what we want for each one of our kids. We want them to know that God is there. He has a plan for their lives. That nothing can keep God from fulfilling in their lives his good purposes for them. And they know that. And they know God loves him. So they can do the things that God asks them to do, even though we know they're always different from what we want. Not too many of us want to love our enemies. Not too many of us want to do good to those who curse us. Not too many of us want to give to meet needs. Not too many of us want to sacrifice. But we know if we read God's word, that's what he's going to call us to do. He's going to call us to follow him, live like he wants. And when we do that, he reveals himself to us. And so that is our prayer for them. That's our prayer with us. The challenge that Adam gave them is the challenge that we talk about all the time here, and I give to you again. When you pick up that Bible, don't let the dust be on it. But when you pick up that Bible, you need to pick it up and say, God, let's talk. I want to hear what you have to say. Give me insight into what's happening in my life. Show me what you want and what your purposes are. Why do you have me in this situation? What do you want me to do? How do I follow you? How do I love you back? How can our relationship become real to where you're the center of my life and I don't have to worry or fear or figure things out because I know your hand is with me and you're guiding me and you're opening up those doors for me and you are doing marvelous things because I'm connected to you. Well, let's pray. Father, you are what we need. We don't need to know about you. We know a lot about you. We're Americans. We grew up knowing all kinds of things about you. We need to know you. We want you to be real in our lives. We want to know your love. We want to rest in your powerful arms. We want to know that your wisdom is guiding us. We want to have faith and trust that gives us freedom. And so we ask you, Lord, just to open up our hearts to see how great your love for us is. Help us to understand that wonderful sacrifice that Christ made on that cross to pay for all of our sins and to open up the door for us to come in our hearts and have a relationship with you. We ask you, Lord, to take our lives and to guide us. We ask you, Lord, to open our eyes spiritually to see you and to know you. We love you and we ask you to reveal your love to us. And Lord, we do right now ask you to help us to have a hunger and a thirst to listen to you and your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.